Welcome to Unhinged with your host, Teresa Romer, motivational speaker, fashion expert, and fashion guru.
Welcome to Unhinged with Teresa Romer, the one and only. And so we have a special guest, just flew in from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from L.A. And his name is Tony Durex.
Durex.
Just like it sounds, just like it's spelled, Durex. Been wanting to interview you for a long time. I've heard a lot about you. You're somewhat famous.
I mean, somewhat, yes. But I mean, for the most part, I'm just known for being on the internet, creating content, and making people laugh.
Yeah.
And encouraging people to be themselves,
right?
Be who they are,
be authentic,
yes,
right?
And unapologetically,
yeah,
themselves,
exactly. And that's where we're at with Unhinged. You know, with Unhinged, we dive in, we go deep. Sometimes we uncover things that you don't even know you're gonna.
As you're rolling up your sleeves, I'm like, oh my god, I feel like you're about to operate on me right now.
I'm getting ready. No, it's quite interesting because people will be like, oh my god, you made me talk about things I didn't know I was going to talk about. And I'm like, that's good. That's what it's all about.
I'm nervous, but I'm ready.
So I heard you just finished a film with George Lopez.
Yes, that was last year, and it released pretty quickly, but yeah, did a film with George Lopez, my first acting role, and it came to me from a good friend of mine, and he was like, hey, I think you'd be good for this, you should do it. And I was like, all right, cool, let's go. And I ran over the script and I auditioned and I got it. And
so
it good.
Were you always an actor?
No.
So this I wasn't just, even in your wheelhouse?
No,
like,
not at all.
So what were you doing
prior? Doing videos on social media.
So you're just on social media, like, yeah, all of us are.
Yeah.
Just being a social media influencer, just doing your thing.
Yeah.
And just somebody posting. Just came to you.
Yeah, and said, hey, here's an opportunity. You should do it. I think this is a good character for you to play.
Do you think it was based on your looks, your personality?
Yeah. The character, I guess the reason why he, and it kind of matches who I am. He's a young Hispanic, kind of suave, but also he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, cool, like, this sounds, you know, when I read the script, I read the character, I'm like, okay, this actually does kind of sound like me, just more, I guess, in a way, suave, because I feel like I'm not really that suave.
You don't think you're suave?
No. I think I'm like sometimes goofy, but I'm also I can be an introvert. But for the most part, I read the script and I loved the character, and I fell in love with him, and I was like, all right, cool, let me embody this and let me just put on a performance, and it went really good. But after that, I was like, all right, I want to do more. You know, being on set filming, it felt good.
I got the bug.
Yeah, I didn't feel nervous being on set. You know, they put me on the spot, and I was like, all right, I want to do more. Like, this opened up a new door for me.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, whether it's commercials, whether it's film, I just want to do more.
So you're not nervous in front of a camera?
No.
See?
No.
Well, and let's let the listeners know, you did walk the runway last night in Fashion Woodlands.
I did.
You didn't look nervous at all.
I you know what? Right when the door, I was nervous before I started walking, and right when the doors opened, my mind just said, Tony, start walking, and I just turned it on. I was like, all right, cool, I gotta just put it on, and I did. I felt good walking.
Yeah.
A little nervous.
Yeah,
you know,
it was
a large crowd of people that I was walking into, but it felt good.
Yeah,
it felt good, and it was for a great cause as well. So
right, for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. But yes, you didn't look nervous. Like, you got to the end of the runway, you struck a pose.
Yeah, I did.
I kind of heard Vogue playing in the background.
Yes. Oh my god. I know, it felt so good though, and I just being around good people, I just, it made me feel good.
Right, right. So let's go back to the movie. So you said it was like looking in the mirror. Young, Hispanic, gay.
Yes.
Have you always been gay? Or yes, was there a certain age when it happened? Or
I truly feel like I was born this way.
Okay.
I know some people, they have their different reasons. Or they say, oh, this happened to me when I was a kid. Or, oh, this didn't happen to me until I was 30. Personally, for me, I feel like I was born this way. At the age of 5, I knew.
How do you just know at 5 years old?
It was first grade, and I had the biggest crush on my teacher.
Which was a guy?
Yeah, which was a guy.
Okay.
And so I was a first grader. I knew right then and there. I was like, oh my god, he's so handsome. He's this big, big, burly guy. You know, he would always wear his buttoned-up shirts down here, and he'd always have a hairy chest. And I'm like, oh, I like that.
So you were never attracted to girls?
No, but I dated girls all through middle school, high school, and
dated. Why?
As a cover up.
So you were covering up. Covering it up for the public, covering it up for your parents.
Yes,
who?
Everybody. Everybody. Everyone at school, family. I just had to keep up this image of, okay, Tony's not gay. I never wanted to be questioned if I was. So I was like, all right, cool. I'm just going to go through and just date all these girls. And
even though you didn't like it.
Did not like it. There was no passion.
Isn't that
no
miserable,
nothing.
Though?
Yeah.
Like, you got to be on a date and... Does she know you're gay, or
no.
You're just faking
it?
And you're trying to make her think you're all into her.
Yeah.
So you're really playing her.
I do apologize to all the women out there that I've ever dated or anything.
Oh, apologies are coming out now.
Yes, because I feel like it was not okay for me to, like, in a way, like, yeah, I did
betrayal.
Lead, yeah, and I led girls on
totally
into thinking
you
that
probably
I
probably broke so many hearts.
I'm not happy, but I did. But after high school is when I was like, okay, cool, like. Even then, after high school, I didn't come out anytime soon. You know, I didn't come out till I was 25.
Wow.
And I gave my family that respect of giving them 3 years of knowing prior, like right before I came out, fully came out.
Right.
So I told my mom and my brothers and sisters when I was 22. And so, yeah, I gave them 3 years. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that they were. I thought my mom would be...
Like, you thought she would be like... I already knew.
I thought
I
so.
Knew.
But no, it was...
Because there's a lot of moms that have that pickup on that intuition.
Yes.
Because I've interviewed a lot of gay guys,
yes.
And they're like, my mom already knew. When I told them, my mom was like, yeah, I already knew. We were wondering
mom.
When you were going to tell us. But your mom had no clue.
No, and to her, it was like a huge like stab in the back. Like, it was like,
cry?
How dare...
Did she
oh,
cry?
My God.
Oh, no.
She, I kid you not, she cried as if someone was literally... stabbing her. I thought my mom knew, but apparently she didn't. I thought my dad knew.
What would make you think they knew, though? Like, were you throwing out indications?
A part of me was, prior to coming out, a little bit, like, I think I'm pretty sure I was, but also as a kid, I feel like I had those, like, I showed a little bit.
It's not, you know? Like you were playing with makeup and dolls and
no, but I mean I definitely snuck and got my sister's dolls when she wasn't looking, and I played with them in hiding.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
For sure. I would grab her dolls and I would take them to the garage and I'd play with them, and then I'd quickly
so
take
versus
them back.
A truck, you wanted a doll.
Yes. Yeah.
But you're nobody in the family picked
no
up
and
on
I
it.
Couldn't I couldn't show that or express that, because I, you know, growing up with two older brothers and a Mexican household as well, my dad was very machismo. I couldn't even show that. I couldn't even express that. Even through music, my brothers were listening to, you know, Tupac, Bone Thugs, you know,
right,
hard stuff, System
yeah.
of a Down. I couldn't play Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears. So I didn't even get into those pop queens until later on.
Wow.
You know? So I just had to play by the rules. And
isn't that hard to cover up something in life that you're just dying to tell people,
yeah.
And yet you just have to keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. Do you really think that happens a lot in the Latino,
oh yeah,
communities? Because I think it's very, especially. I mean, like, I think they're very proud. Like,
very.
And I'm sure that's,
yeah, very prideful. Also, religion. You know, a lot of Hispanics are Catholic,
mm-hmm.
And whether they're not, they are. They're not. You know, my mom's Christian. And it still was like, you cannot be this way.
Right.
You know, at one point, you know, she was like, you can't even be in this household because, you know.
Did they kick you out?
I didn't live home.
Oh.
So I didn't live with my family. But when I did come out, I wasn't able to come visit. And it's six of us.
They wouldn't even let you come visit?
Yeah.
Wow.
My parents were already split, but I wasn't able to go to my mom's. And then, of course, my dad was like, no, you can't. You can't come visit me. Yeah, he threatened me and everything. Like, you cannot come to my house. Like, if I see you, I will.
And don't you think that happens more than people realize?
Yeah.
That there's literally families out there that just won't accept that.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but it's heartbreaking, because I just wish that everyone was treated equally. You know, like, why is it that this is who I am and I'm being...
honest with you.
Yeah, I'm being honest with you.
I want you to know, like,
and now I can't even come home. Like, that's crazy. And it was very hard at first. For the first year of me coming out was hard.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, like, that's got to be hard that there's something about you that you want the world to know, especially your family. You want their support. But so, like, so that was how many years ago?
That was about 5 years ago.
So five, you said it was hard about the first year.
Yeah, the first year was tough.
Now?
It's a lot easier. I'm able to see my family. I'm able to bring my boyfriend around my family.
Okay.
Even that was a huge... That was hard. My dad, my boyfriend just met my dad this year. I was nervous. Ooh. My hands were sweating. Because my dad lives in Mexico and he came to visit for my brother's baby shower.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, my boyfriend's going to be here. And I want to make that introduction. I did want to make the introduction in private.
Did you already give him the heads up?
No.
Oh, so no, that was a surprise.
That was a surprise given the fact that had I had told him, he wouldn't have showed up.
Yeah.
And it to me, it's my brother's baby shower.
Right.
And then on top of that, I don't need my dad telling my brother, like, hey, you know, your brother told me that his partner's going to be there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go. And then it looks bad on me.
Right, right.
So I was like, no. I was like, my brothers were like, just don't say anything. Just, he's going to meet him. That's it. Just don't make it awkward.
Right.
And I didn't introduce him as my boyfriend. Nor did I introduce my boyfriend to my grandma as my boyfriend. I just said, hey, this is Brendan.
My friend?
I just called him. Hey, this is Brendan.
Okay.
And so when I introduced him to my dad, you know, I was like, hey, this is Brendan. And my dad, I could tell, like, he was like, shit, sized him up. Because my boyfriend's, you know, he's 6'3" wide, you know, 200 and something pounds, you know, big Samoan guy. So for my dad, I'm pretty sure he was like, oh my God. But my boyfriend is a sweetheart.
Yeah.
He's a sweetheart. Like, yeah, he, you know, he is big and tough, but he's a sweetheart at the end of the day. So yeah,
but that's good. I mean, like, so there's a happy ending.
Yes, 100%.
And mom's okay with it now.
Yeah.
So you're still a mama's boy.
I will forever be a mama's boy. I think I'm the closest to my mom, given the fact that, like, my mom can confide in me anything.
Right.
You know, I talk to her about everything, whether it's gossip, whether it's whatever it is. I'm like this with my mom.
Yeah.
I feel like I will always be like that with my mom.
No, so that was probably hard that year.
Yes.
Because you are a mama's boy.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to be with her, talk to her, confide in her.
Oh yeah, she's like Superwoman to me, you know. No, she is, because when my parents split, you know, she grabbed all six of us.
Yeah.
And we went to a house that we've never seen before. It was a small little home, but, you know, a little 3-bedroom house, but she made it work. She wasn't working, so I don't know how she did it. She was able to feed us, provide for us. Yeah. So it's like,
but you don't even know, she didn't have a job.
She didn't have a job.
She had to have a job somewhere.
She did what she had to do. I don't know how she did it. But we went from living in a big house on a ranch to this little small home and that she rented, and she was able to make it work. So, like, to her, I see. And it was for the best that we left. You know,
right.
My dad was an alcoholic.
Sure.
Very abusive. So the fact that she took us out of that household was good for all of us.
Well, yeah, yeah. Is dad still the same way now?
He's changed. He's definitely changed.
So he lost her.
Yeah, and I think now I think there's a part of him that's realizing, like, holy shit, I've missed out on a lot.
Right.
On a lot. It's been over, like, 10 years.
Right, right.
So,
wow.
It's crazy how the world works.
Yeah. So that was, so anyway, so let's go back to the movie. So you got the part because you felt like you connected to the role that you were asked to play, and they must have saw that. And they were like, oh, well, this is a perfect fit.
Yeah.
So here you were. You weren't an actor. You weren't meant to be an actor. But now maybe you are meant to be an actor.
We'll see. I mean, I'm open to anything. I mean, I'm at a point in my life where I just want to do everything and anything. I don't know what it is. That's just even walking a runway show.
Right.
I've never done it.
Right.
You know, I just got introduced to it a month ago.
Yeah.
I walked my first show. This is technically my second show that I walked in. So I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I know I'm not trying to be a model. You know, but if it's an opportunity that's given to me, I'm going to take it.
Right, right.
If I get a movie role, you know, for a scary movie, I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
I'm going to try my hardest to deliver what I need to deliver.
Right, right.
And I'm just going to practice and see what comes next.
Right. So you were actually just making a living as a social media influencer?
Yes.
Just totally that.
Mm-hmm.
So explain to the audience what that entailed. Like, some of us do YouTube, some of us do social media collaborations, some people do podcasts, you know.
It's a little bit of everything that I do. I mean, I'm on TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Threads. There's a plethora of Snapchat. All these platforms. Yeah, Snapchat. But pretty much it's just, I just push. I mean, I'm, you know, thank God, you know, like Facebook is a great platform. People sleep on Facebook. I tell people, like, no, like, I bought my truck because of Facebook. You know, I was hustling on there. I was pushing my content, and I made a lot of money on Facebook where I was like, oh, I was able to buy a truck.
Right.
You know, same thing with like Instagram, you know, like things like that. Right now it's TikTok that's like booming.
Right.
It's just a matter of just being consistent. I tell people that all the time.
Consistency is the key to everything. So, you mentioned TikTok. So, yeah. What are your thoughts? What's going to happen? You think it's going to get banned?
I'm not sure exactly if it's going to get banned. I'm pretty sure right before it gets to that, I feel like they might sell it, but I'm hoping that they sell it to someone that's going to actually, you know, carry it the way that's being carried, because TikTok is a beautiful platform that they're not like the other platforms. You know, it's no shade to Instagram or Facebook, right, or anything, right. But it definitely helps their creators.
Right.
You know, they pay them what they deserve.
Right.
They help them push so that they make more money.
Right.
You know, TikTok is one of those platforms where it's like, hey, look, you're making this much. Stay consistent. Right. We're going to literally pay you more.
Right. Right.
It's a beautiful platform.
So what do you think about all of these people that solely make money on TikTok? No other platform. And they're freaking out. They're thinking, oh my God, don't take away my living now. Because I really truly believe that TikTok became even more a platform for people to make money during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Because people were like, oh my God, I need to make a living. How can I do it? Like, okay, yeah. Let's jump on TikTok. I'll do something. And you started seeing people just dance on TikTok and do stupid stuff on TikTok.
Even they're getting paid.
Yeah.
Even the dancers. But there are businesses that there's people that go on there and they make a living off of it.
Right.
I know a friend, you know, who introduced me to the streaming world.
Yes.
And he's making a living off of it. And I have a friend who makes a living off of TikTok.
Yeah.
Going live.
Right.
You know, he bought a house.
Going live.
Yeah. He moved out of LA, bought a house in Florida, and he's killing it.
You can definitely afford a house in Florida more than you can in California.
That for sure. And then I know there's people who make their, who promote their business. You know, I have a friend who, you know, has a business called Womble's Candles, and he sells, you know, he said prior to going live on TikTok and pushing my candles,
yeah,
you know, I was selling, I think, 3 a week. Now he's selling, I think, over 50 to 100 a week.
Right.
You know, he's booming, right. And it was all thanks to TikTok. So it's definitely a platform that it helps people make money, and it helps their living.
So in my world as a social media influencer, you know, I, same as you, on everything. But I learned that I really had to focus to be on just one platform especially. Because otherwise you get yourself too thinned out and you just can't, you know, it swallows your day up. Like,
oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Your whole day is spent jumping from one platform to another. And it's hard to stay consistent on every single platform. And so I narrowed mine down to Instagram. People are like, why aren't you on TikTok more? I don't know. I'm like, I'm just more of an Instagrammer, you know. But, I'm the same way. Like,
yeah.
Do you find that you have to focus more on one versus a lot of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do focus more on one, but also I still cater to every single other platform.
Right.
You know, I definitely don't want to. You never know what's going to hit on what.
Right.
You know, there's a video that I can post on Facebook and it might get a million views.
Yeah.
But there's a video that I can post that same video on TikTok and it might get 8 million views.
Yes.
It's, you just never know.
And that's a funny story because, you know, I have like over a million followers on Instagram, and yet my YouTube, which I've actually been doing longer than Instagram, I can't get my YouTubers, like, I mean, yeah, I got my 100,000 plaque, you know, all that and everything. But I mean, like, I'm like, okay, if I have a million people on Instagram, why aren't they over here on YouTube?
It's tough.
Well, it's because my Instagrammers are swipers.
Yeah.
And my YouTubers are like moviegoers.
Yeah.
And you can't pull them over there. It's easier to pull someone from Instagram to go to YouTube.
Yeah.
Or no, it's vice versa. It's easier to get somebody YouTube that you have on Insta or on YouTube and get them to be pulled over, because they'll come check you out and just start following you.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they have to keep watching you, but they just.
Exactly.
But YouTube, you're required to watch.
Yeah.
And so people are always like, well, I don't understand why you have this many over here and not that many over there. And I'm like, different group.
Yeah.
Like you said, different group. How do you get 8 million on TikTok and only a million over here? You know?
Like right now, I just, as of, I think a month ago, I just hit 1 million followers on TikTok, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And then on Instagram, it's like, I think 200 and something thousand.
Mm-hmm. And you're like,
I post the same thing, but it's very different. Yeah, it's very different.
Totally different.
I know I'm your guest, but I actually want to ask you a question.
Oh. Put me on the hot spot.
I want to put you on the hot spot. You are beyond successful, and I just want to know, like, what did it take, or what does it take to reach the level of success that you've achieved?
Well, we already talked about it. Consistency. You know, I film for YouTube 3 days a week, I upload 3 days a week. I post on Instagram 3 days a week. I tend to all my other platforms too, but it's always consistency. And we always have crap that comes our way in our lives and wants to be a roadblock or make you detour or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter. It's like I have a online community called The Vault. And every Monday night, I do coaching sessions with them. But besides that, I upload in there and keep putting content in there. And people are like, how do you do all this? How do you have a husband and a life? And you're consistently filming and you're consistently posting and you're consistently teaching and you're consistently... And it's like consistency. You know, my background is a personal trainer for 30-some years. I had health clubs. You can't be a personal trainer. You can't compete as a bodybuilder if you're not consistent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It takes discipline.
So I value my discipline from my fitness world. Because to be successful in fitness, you have to be consistent.
Damn.
Consistent dieting, consistent exercising, consistency, consistency, consistency. It's a discipline.
Yeah.
And so... It's funny because I'll have young kids come to me and they're like, I don't understand. I do a couple posts and it did. And I'm like, you posted once last month.
Yeah. You have to be consistent.
You're not going to be successful laying in bed scrolling and posting once a month. You're just not going to. I'm like, the key to success, I don't care what you want to be successful in. The key is consistency.
Yeah.
Because if you're consistent, you'll become disciplined. And as long as that discipline stays there, I mean, I've had all kinds of roadblocks come my way. And I'm just like, okay, I got to deal with this too, but I still got my job.
Yeah.
I got to do this.
And how do you deal with roadblocks?
Well, I always say that God never places more on your shoulders than he thinks you can handle.
Mm.
And he must think I have some really broad shoulders because at times it's a lot. But... I'm a firm believer in balance. Social media can just swallow you up.
Yeah.
If you get on social media, especially TikTok, you can literally get on TikTok and 3 hours go by and you don't even know where that 3 hours went.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, holy Christ, I was sitting here for 3 hours. How did I just lose 3 hours of my day? So a lot of times I stay off of TikTok. Unless I want to do some research, because I myself will get swallowed up.
Mm-hmm.
I will get swallowed up. And then I get mad because I'm like, that 3 hours is so precious. Like, I have a time schedule that I have to adhere to. Like, I don't have time to waste 3 hours of my day. But so many people don't think that way. They're just like, they get on there and then 6 hours goes by, you know? And then they get mad because they didn't get something done. And I'm like, well, what'd you do today? Well, I got on TikTok.
Yeah, it's
so
tough.
My whole thing too is balance. I'm like, okay, you know, we were together today for a while, and while everybody else is on their phone checking messages or checking social media or posting pictures, my phone's down.
Yeah,
because I want to live in the moment of where we were at, what we were doing.
Yeah.
There's a time and a place for me to do that later, you know, but there's a lot of people that don't have that discipline of,
they have to pick it up, they have to check,
they just got to be constantly. And I'm like, don't let that thing rule your life.
Yeah.
It's an accessory.
Yeah.
It's to help you, but don't let it control you.
Yeah. I think there's breaks that are necessarily too, like that are necessary. Like even being out here in Texas, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm not gonna go on my, you know, my live streams.
Right.
I'm gonna give it a break. So right. It feels good, and when I come back, I'm like, all right, I feel recharged. I feel good.
Right.
You know, I'm living in the moment. I'm enjoying Texas for what it is. And,
right.
You know.
Right.
Today was a great day. Today was amazing. Even, you know, riding bikes and, you know, with your grandson, like it was amazing. It was fun to just get out. I'm like, I haven't rode a bike, even though it's electric. But I haven't rode a bike in so long.
Right.
It felt good to just ride and be in nature, and I can't really do that.
Not be connected to that phone, you know. But so, you know, we talk about that in the vault all the time too. It's like, don't let that thing control you, you know. Yeah. And I'm a firm believer in how technology has helped us have social media and have all this stuff in our lives, but you got to know when to put it down. Nothing bothers me more than to see people in restaurants and they're just on their phone and they're not even talking to each other. They're not even having time together. They're just, they're there together, but they're both on their phones. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Can you not put it away? So let's talk about what we have in the future for you. So there's got to be a future for Tony.
Yes.
What's in that crystal ball?
Oh man. The definitely there's a film that I want to direct.
Ooh, now you want to step into the director's shoes.
Well, I eventually do. My name is Tony Direct, so my goal was to eventually direct, and I still want to do that.
Right.
There's like some projects that I want to film, and it's kind of based off of my life, but also I want to shed light on the Hispanic, you know, community,
right,
and show that, you know, we're all normal. We're all just normal human beings, like
right.
Whether you're gay, straight,
black,
anything,
white,
yeah, anything. Puerto Rican. We're all normal. We all have struggles.
Yeah.
But the goal is definitely to direct. I want to just do a little bit of everything. I definitely want to act more.
Yeah.
Whether it's commercials, whether it's hosting, whether it's being in another movie or a TV show, I think the possibilities are endless. And I'm just one of those people where I'm like, all right, cool. Whatever you throw at me,
yeah,
I'll do it.
Well, hopefully George Lopez was impressed.
I think so. I mean, it was a good movie.
And he's funny.
Yeah, he's funny. No, yeah. That guy got on set and it was all improv. I was like, okay. And I asked him, it was just me and him in the living room one day, and everyone went to set and we were just waiting to be called. And I had like 10 minutes with him, and I was like, oh, let me just ask him, like, you know, what would you advise someone like me, a young Latino who this is my first movie.
Yeah.
What would you, you know, recommend? And he said, just do you, you know, obviously study your role, but also like don't let any doors stop you from going through.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, break it down.
Yep.
He's like, I've broken down so many doors throughout my life. He's like, you got to just push through them.
Yeah.
If they tell you no, guess what? Find another door.
Lots of no's.
Yeah.
There's a lot of no's. A lot of no's in life.
Yeah. So I'm ready for whatever.
Every no is another opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, cool. You
cool. Well, where can everybody find you? Like,
everything is Tony Directs, all one word, TonyDirects.
Everywhere.
TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. Definitely not MySpace anymore, but definitely, yeah, Facebook, yeah. Yeah.
OnlyFans?
No OnlyFans. Definitely no OnlyFans. Has it crossed my mind? Yeah, but I'm like, you know what? I think I'm good. I don't want to, you know.
Yeah, but did you know that an OnlyFans doesn't have to be pornographic? Did you
very
know that?
True.
Did you know that? I did not
very
know
true,
that.
Yeah.
I take that back. Years ago, I did know that. Years ago, some friends of mine had fitness on their OnlyFans pages.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of forgotten about that. And then when COVID happened and everybody was creating an OnlyFans because they needed money,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, I was like, oh my God, porno. You know? And so when somebody would say, do you have a OnlyFans page, Trace? I was like, no, I don't do porn, you know. And then it got to thinking one day, I was like, wait a minute. There's people that have OnlyFans pages that are gardening,
yeah,
workouts. But when you hear OnlyFans,
it does trigger that little like, oh.
It kind of got switched. So if you do Wikipedia it, if you do Google it,
yeah,
it will tell you that it actually started out as another platform,
yeah,
for those of us that are on social media to mm-hmm. use. And it started out as a normal, and somehow it got just turned into porn.
Yeah, but hey, salute to everybody who does it. Make your money.
I guess.
Make your money. I mean.
I don't know if they've hit. I don't know. I've never asked someone, but I don't know if they've hurt the pornographic industry or not.
I th- think it did.
I think it did too.
I think it did. I actually talked to someone who's very successful on OnlyFans.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, but he still does his duty to post on, you know,
whatever
the other pages.
Yeah.
But yeah. But thank you again for having me. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you again. And you guys, he told you everywhere to go find him. And once again, thank you so much for being on Unhinged.
Thank you.